And we had three questions left from last year. And the one we plan on dealing with tonight, and Lord willing, next Sunday evening, is concerns fasting. I think the question was very brief, like, what about fasting? Or something like that. But it doesn't take a lot of words to ask a question sometimes, so that's what we want to deal with. What does the Bible say about fasting? Now, I actually covered this subject probably 5 or 6 years ago in a lesson, but this is not that lesson. I decided to start from scratch on the subject, so I looked up every passage that has the words fast, fasted, fasting. Fasts, plural, was not in the Bible, but fastings in the plural was. So these are the words that I looked up, and we'll get to those, Lord willing, next Sunday evening. So where is the first use of this family of words found in the Bible? Well, it is not found in the book of Genesis, at least not that I could find. And so we don't find it in connection with Enoch or Noah, and that involved a worldwide flood, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, or Joseph. Does that mean they never fasted? Not necessarily. It just means nothing is mentioned concerning it. Remarkably, Moses does not command it at various times in the law at all, with one exception. I could only find one instance where people under the law of Moses were commanded to fast. There is no command for Israelites to fast one day a week, one day a month. Remember, in the New Testament, the Pharisees were very proud of the fact that they fasted twice in the week. But that doesn't come from the law of Moses. There is one time that it is commanded, but you might not catch that because of the way it's worded. And that was on the annual Day of Atonement. So let's look at Leviticus 16, 29 and 30. Leviticus chapter 16, verses 29 and 30. This shall be a statute forever for you. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether a native of your own country or a stranger who sojourns among you. For on that day the priest shall make atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. Now, you'll notice that there is nothing specifically said about fasting or abstaining from food. And we just don't find anything there. But let's keep going. Leviticus chapter 23. Beginning with verse 27. Here we read, also the tenth day of the seventh month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you, and you shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And you shall do no work on that same day, for it is the Day of Atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For any person who is not afflicted of soul on that same day shall be cut off from his people. And any person who does any work on that same day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and in all your dwellings. Well, again, that pretty much repeats what was already said, but still doesn't mention anything about fasting. Now let's go to Numbers chapter 29 and read verse 7. Numbers 29 and verse 7. On the 10th day of the 7th month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall afflict your souls. You shall not do any work. Now that actually sums up the three things pretty well, doesn't it? Except for what goes on that day with the high priest. But as per each individual, there was to be a holy convocation. They were to afflict their souls, and there was to be no work. Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 5. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 5. This is maybe not particularly talking about the Day of Atonement, but it is talking about something that is related. So we pick up with verse 5. Is it a fast that I have chosen? A day to for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush or to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Now, the point is not whether or not this is the Day of Atonement. The point is that we have a definition of what it means to afflict your souls. And that is, it is to fast. Now, that word was never used in Leviticus 16 or 23 or Numbers 29:7. But apparently, the people knew that if they were afflicting their souls, that meant they were fasting. Let's look at one other passage in the New Testament. Acts chapter 27 and verse 9. Acts chapter 27 and verse 9. Now, when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, and he goes on to advise them not to sail. What is the fast? The fast now being over. Most commentaries, and I use the pulpit commentary primarily on this, refer to this fast as the Day of Atonement. It's not mentioned as the Day of Atonement, but it does and refer to that according to most who have studied the passage. And in fact, the pulpit commentary points out that the Day of Atonement on that year, and remember it's the 10th day of the 7th month, was on September 24th. So it was getting late in the year, and that's why Paul advised them not to continue. But the Day of Atonement came to be called the Day of the Fast. So that shows that what God had intended by afflicting their souls was that they should fast on that day. Well, it's obviously not called that, but that is the one time it was commanded in the law. And I couldn't find any other passages where fasting was required. Now, let's come to Moses. The first time the concept is mentioned in the Bible is in connection with Moses, but the terms fast, fasting, fasted, fastings is not used. Rather, it's a description of a fast. So if you look up those words, you won't find any in Exodus or Leviticus or Numbers or Deuteronomy. They're just not there. First actual passage that uses that word is in Judges. But we'll get to that next week, Lord willing. What about Moses and fasting? There seem to be three occasions on which Moses fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. We read in Exodus 24 a few moments ago, verses 12 through 18, that God called Moses up to the mount. And we left off at verse 18, where we read that he was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. While he is there, God gives him instructions for the furniture of the tabernacle, instructions concerning the priesthood, and then Moses returns. Now, that's passing over a lot of verses, but he comes back down from the mountain in Exodus 31. We were reading from 24, but he was up there all that time receiving these instructions. Now he comes back down from the mountain, Exodus 31 and verse 18. And when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God. And as you know, Moses came down from the mount holding those two tablets written on both sides, the Ten Commandments, written by the finger of God. It isn't till later that we find out about the fasting. So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 9 through 12. Deuteronomy chapter 9, beginning with verse 9. Moses is reminding the new generation of what had happened in the past. And he says, when I went up, Deuteronomy 9:9, to the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant, which the Lord made with you, then I stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water. Then the Lord delivered to me two tablets of stone written with the finger of God, and on them were all the words which the Lord had spoken to you on the mountain from the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord gave me the two tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant. Then the Lord said to me, arise, go down quickly from here, for your people, whom you brought out of Egypt, have acted corruptly. They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded image. Well, that clarifies. We saw in the other passage, the one read as the scripture reading, Moses ascending the mount, being given the tablets, coming down from the mount. But it's not until Moses summarizes this in Deuteronomy 9, 9 through 12, that speaking of that same time frame, he explains that he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Plus, he did not drink any water either. Notice also verse 17 of Deuteronomy chapter 9. Then I took the two tablets and threw them out of my hands and broke them before your eyes. And that, of course, was because of the sinful behavior that they were engaged in. Well, that was the first time Moses fasted. There is a second time, and we want to pick up right at where we left off with verse 17 and go on to 18 through 21. And I fell down before the Lord as at the first 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water because of all your sin, which you committed in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of the anger and the hot displeasure with which the Lord was angry with you to destroy you. But the Lord listened to me at that time also. And the Lord was very angry with Aaron and would have destroyed him. So I prayed for Aaron also at the same time. Then I took your sin, the calf which you had made, and burned it with fire and crushed it and ground it very small until it was as fine as dust. And I threw its dust into the brook that descended from the mountains. So he claims to have fasted a second time because of their grievous sin. Let's also notice verse 25. Thus I prostrated myself before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. I kept prostrating myself because the Lord had said he would destroy you. So Moses then fasted 40 days and 40 nights when he went up to receive the law of God. And when he came back down, he fasted another 40 days and 40 nights so that God would not destroy his people. But now we come to the third time, Deuteronomy chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. At that time the Lord said to me, "Hew for yourself two tablets of stone, like the first, and come up to me on the mountain and make yourself an ark of wood. And I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke, and you shall put them in the ark. So I made an ark of acacia wood, hewed two tablets of stone, like the first, and went up the mountain, having the two tablets in my hand. And he wrote on the tablets according to the first writing, the Ten Commandments, which the Lord had spoken to you at the mountain from the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly, and the Lord gave them to me." Now, in this passage, we don't see anything about Moses fasting a third time, but we do see that he went back up on the mountain and was there to receive the law a second time. So let's go back to Exodus 34. Exodus 34, remember, Deuteronomy is summarizing this. Exodus is recording it in real time as it happened. And in Exodus 34 and verse 27, Moses is going back up to the mount the second time. And we read, "Then the Lord said to Moses, write these words, for according to the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel." So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenants, the Ten Commandments. Now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand, he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So after comparing Exodus with Deuteronomy, we find that Moses neither ate bread nor drank water 40 days while he was up there receiving the tablets the first time. He fasted again 40 days and 40 nights in pleading for the people when he was down from the mountain. And then he fasted again 40 days and 40 nights when he went back up to the mountain to receive them the second time. By the way, do not try drinking water for this length of time. What Moses did on these occasions was a miracle. Most people harm their bodies tremendously after 3 to 5 days without water and begin to dehydrate. Some people can last for a week, but after that you die. So in order to not drink water for that long a period of time, God had to work a miracle on Moses' behalf. However, on none of these occasions were any of the terms for fasting used, we simply have the description of fasting. Well, while we're on that subject, let's notice a few other times where fasting is described but not specifically mentioned. In 1 Samuel, and these are all that I could find, there may be others, but these are all that I could find. 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 34. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and ate no food the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David because his father had treated him shamefully. So because of that particular situation, Jonathan fasted for an entire day. Then in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 33 through 35, we find, and the king sang a lament about Abner and said, should Abner die as a fool dies? Your hands were not bound, nor your feet put into fetters. As a man falls before wicked men, so you fell. Then all the people wept over him again. And when all the people came to persuade David to eat food, while it was still day, David took an oath, saying, God do so to me and more also, if I taste bread or anything till the sun goes down. So for the remainder of that day, David did not eat. Then we come to 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 8. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 8. So he arose and ate and drank, and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. So Elijah had that one meal, and he lived off of that for 40 days and 40 nights, which implies that he fasted during that time period. Now in the New Testament, Matthew says that Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Luke does not use the term. He simply says Jesus ate nothing, which is, of course, the same thing in Luke 4, verses 1 and 2. We often talk about Paul fasting for 3 days when he was without sight. Again, that term is not used, but it is a description, nevertheless. Let's turn to Acts chapter 9. And verse 9. Acts chapter 9 and verse 9. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. So although the term is not used, Paul was fasting, and that's why we oftentimes call attention to this. He was also praying during that time period, and verse 11 states that. So the Lord said to him, arise, go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. After Saul faced Jesus on the road to Damascus, and realized he had been persecuting the very Son of God and those who followed Jesus, it shook him immeasurably. And he could not eat or drink, or did not eat and drink for 3 days. He fasted and he prayed. And the reason that we bring this up is oftentimes to show people that Saul was not saved as a result of fasting and praying for 3 days. Ananias came to him and said, why do you wait? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. His sins were still there. Fasting had not removed them. praying had not removed them. But being baptized, his sins were washed away in the blood of Jesus, as we talked this morning. Now, next Sunday evening, we'd like to take a look at the purposes for fasting. And I plan to have a prepared list of occasions where the words are used and what they are used in connection with. So let's just deal with one more quick question this evening relating to fasting. How long should a fast be? Well, probably you do not want to go 40 days, as Moses and Elijah and Jesus did. And you sure wouldn't want to go without water. Well, you wouldn't have to worry about making 40 days. You'd probably have to worry about making 8 days without water. So probably that's not on your agenda of coming events. But what did other people do? Obviously, all fasts were not that long. We saw that Jonathan stopped eating for a day, as well as David for Abner's death. But there is no set length. In the time of Esther, she asked people to fast for 3 days for her. We'll look at that passage next week. Saul fasted for 3 days, but that may be because it took that long for Ananias to get there. He may have gone longer if Ananias had taken longer. So there is no set length. The Pharisees said that they fasted twice in the week. So presumably those were not much longer than a day or two at the most. If you have blood work done and they'll tell you not to eat after 10 o'clock, not to eat anything or drink anything except water, when you go in the next day, they'll say, "Have you been fasting?" Well, we probably don't consider that much of a fast, but that is what it's called. So it may be for 10 or 12 hours, but that's still a fast. So the length is not one that the Bible specifies, except on the Day of Atonement, they were to afflict their souls that one day. So there's no prescribed length that the Bible gives. The time is not as important as the purpose for doing so. The New Testament does not give a specified time or a commandment concerning it. There is one passage that deals with it, and that's 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5. As Paul is talking to married couples, he says, "Do not deprive one another, except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." Well, that's not much of a hint, for a time is about all that is stated. It might be a day, it might be 2 or 3 days, it might even be a week, but there's no specified time there. There's no commandment there. That was the decision of the couple involved. And so there's no New Testament commandment binding on people today for you should set aside this day this week or this month or this year or anything to that. But it certainly is permissible to do as an individual or as a couple. Well, that's our introduction then to answer the question about fasting. There's much more to say, particularly regarding the purposes for it, and Lord willing, we'll address that next Sunday evening. If you have not obeyed the gospel and know what you need to do, we stand ready to assist you. If you already have, but have not been living as righteously as you could and should, we invite you to come forward this evening too. If we can help you in either regard, let us know while we stand.